Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us for this beautiful day of praise and worship as we celebrate the 14th Sunday of Pentecost. A few announcements before we dig into worship. Just a reminder that the CEC will be meeting Tuesday night at the Parsonage at 7 p.m. They moved that meeting from Monday to Tuesday to accommodate more people. Don't forget, Rally Day is right around the corner. It will be September 26th, so we hope you can join us for that. We'll have more details and specifics for you after our CEC meeting, but we look forward to getting our Sunday school season off in style. And then October 10th, we will have a special worship service at Shenbrunn Village. It will be a combined worship service with all the Meridian churches in the area as we look to do our Day of Mission at the village, as we get ready to help them for their big 250th anniversary, and we are proud to be worshiping on that hallowed ground. Just a continued reminder from our joint board to continue to pay attention for COVID updates. Obviously, the situation remains dynamic and is not trending in the direction that we would like, but as of this Sunday, we still have optional masks. We do ask that if you want to sing along with our cantors, that you wear a mask when doing so. And if you prefer, you're welcome to grab a hymnal in the back if you'd like to follow along with worship. And there are bulletins back there if you prefer to have something in addition to the screen as well. That's all I have for announcements at this time. Let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship.
Good morning.
You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from James chapter 1, verse 19. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Amen. this time we will pray together our liturgy of education, as these past few weeks we have celebrated a return to school for our kids, for our teachers, for our staff, for our kitchen people there. And we just want to continue to uplift in prayer the importance of the education that all of our children receive. At this time, please stand as we join together in the Liturgy of Education. We will be doing the first four pages, 127 through 130. We praise you, Lord. We give thanks to you with our whole heart.
Great are your works, full of honor and majesty, and studied by all who delight in them.
The work of your hands are faithful and just.
Your precepts are trustworthy.
Our reverence for you is the beginning of wisdom.
You are to be praised forever.
We praise you for the wisdom, power, and love displayed in the natural universe and in humanity, whom you have placed within it to care for it and nurture it.
All glory to you, omnipotent God.
Light of the world, we praise you for being the eternal truth.
All glory to you, Christ our teacher.
Revealer of the deep things of God, we praise you for your gifts of awe and wonder, which lead us on the path of true wisdom.
All glory to you, Holy Spirit.
Vision and wisdom, we confess our short-sightedness and folly in our search for knowledge and understanding, for our pride in pursuing and using knowledge in ways that make us think that we are superior to others. We ask for your forgiveness.
For our misuse of science and technology, leading to the oppression of people and the abuse of creation, we ask your forgiveness.
For our failure to ask hard questions and our willingness to be satisfied with easy answers, for our ignorance of history and tradition, and for our stubborn resistance to new insight of both heart and mind, we ask your forgiveness.
We neglect the study of Scripture, the foundation of all true learning. Although your splendor has illuminated our path, we have chosen to walk in darkness.
Although your guidance is always available, we have relied upon our own will.
Although you have given us wise counsel, inspired writers, and thoughtful teachers, we have turned to our own ways.
Gracious God, you forgive us through Jesus Christ. In humble acknowledgement of your love revealed in him, we give you thanks, and we pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God's voice in the words of Scripture.
James 7 through 27. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of He all created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everything should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil. The righteousness of that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that our God of our Father accepts a pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Mark 1:1-8. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding the tradition of elders when they come from the marketplace. They don't eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have to let go of the commands of God and holding on to human traditions." Mark 14 through 15. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside the person can defile them. Going into them, rather, it is what comes out of the person that defiles them." Mark 21 through 23. "For it is from within the person's heart that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and defile a person."
Amen. Thank you, Paige, for being a wonderful pinch hitter for me. I asked her 5 minutes before worship to do that, and she took it like a champ. Our scripture reader was a little sick. And I still can't get over that 2 years ago I was putting like 3 step stools and we were getting you up there on a crank, and now you're tall enough to just sit there and read. What is happening? Kids are growing up too fast here. In our prayers, we turn to a time of reflection and just a time to uplift our joys in our concerns to God. We remind those of you who are joining us online that we have many prayers on our prayer chain for privacy reasons that we are only going to share on our screen, but we encourage you to either go to your prayer chain or take some personal prayer time as well. In our prayers, we offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Gil Bennett, who passed away a week and a half ago from a tractor accident. A service of remembrance was held this past week. Gil was a former active member of our church, serving on many of our boards, so we pray for his family as they continue to grieve the loss of Gil. We continue to pray for our world, for those who are facing hurricane relief efforts, those who are currently going through hurricanes. We think especially of the country of Afghanistan right now. We think of our Americans in the country who are still looking for ways to get out. We think of the 14 soldiers who've recently passed. May we continue to pray for peaceful solution in the midst of intense conflict in those areas. And we also continue to pray for the health, safety, and peace of our entire world in the battle of COVID. We know that many states have become hotspots areas, and we continue to pray for all those who continue to serve and to seek and to look for new ways to help people with this battle. And one of the things I encourage you to do, I was thinking about, we prayed for this for so long, since March of last year. So one of the things I encourage you to do in your weekly prayers, when it seems like you're stuck praying the same prayer for a year and a half, try to narrow in on something. So focus on a different field of hospital workers or people like that. So like ICU nurses 1 week, doctors in different places 1 place, patients in different areas. Because that way it allows us to see all the different ways that God is helping people. Even if we don't see it in the big picture of things, we can see it in those moments with those people. So let us take some time to pray and reflect on what God has done for us this week. Gracious God, as we talk to you today, help us to talk to you not as someone who sits so far above and so far away from us, but as a friend who takes care of us and watches over us. As we remember the words of Mark and James today, help us to remember how important our words are, how they can uplift a friend in need, how they can show a spouse support and feel affection, how they can wound people if we are not careful. Help us to be patient and kind with our words. As we talk to you, we remember that there are many people that are friends of this congregation who are enduring difficult circumstances. We pray for all those who are recovering from surgeries and dealing with slow rehab processes. We pray for all those who are in intensive care units, getting specialized treatment they need and hopefully bouncing back from that. And gracious God, we pray for all those who support and uplift. We pray for many in our congregation who have gotten test results and treatments over these past few weeks. Help them to know that they are taken care of. And gracious God, as we pray the liturgy of education, be with our teachers, our students, our staff, our parents, and all of those who support the education of not just our youth, but our adults as well. For we remember that as long as we walk this earth, we have a duty to continue to learn, to grow as children of God. So let us be that example for our young people. And as we give thanks to you, help us to pay attention to those small things to be grateful for. The smiles of our kids, the sunshine in the air, the feeling of vibrancy that comes with the beginning of summer into fall, with all the activities that come. Help us to know that you, God, are sending us blessings each day. Help us to listen to them, to hear them, and most importantly, embrace the gifts of God. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, we turn our attention to our offering. Once again, no offering plate going up and down the pews, but there is a plate in back for any of you who prefer to do in-person donations. We still encourage those of you who do online giving. We are so grateful for that. You can go to scmchurch.org at this time, and we continue to give thanks for the many gifts that we are given. Let us please rise and join together in the offertory. Together the prayer of dedication. Holy Spirit, help us to cling to godly compassion and surrender our need to live for worldly possessions. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we turn our attention to our children's chat. We're going to dig into those words from Mark and James talking about being hearers or doers. So kids, I'm going to ask you to use your fingers to point out to me which answer you prefer. So if you had to choose between being one of these things, somebody who's a good hearer or somebody who's a good doer, which of these would you choose? So if you would choose to be a hearer, I want you to put a 1 up in the air. If you would choose to be somebody who's good at doing things, I want you to put a 2 in the air. So let me see. 2. So I see a lot of twos. You would rather be good at doing something versus just hearing something. And I'm hearing impaired, so I'm definitely a 2 right there, because being a hearer isn't always my gift. But let's talk about this. So I'm going to give you an example. And I'm going to say I have a good friend named Brett. And Brett is really good at listening to his parents and teachers. He's a great hearer. If you ask him to do something, if his teacher asks him to do his 15-minute math assignment when he gets home, if his mom asks him to vacuum the carpet after he's done with his homework, he'll tell you, yeah, mom, I'm so happy to do it, and I'll get that math homework done. But here's Brett's issue. The doing it part. He'll say it, but then when it comes time to do it, guess what he doesn't do? He doesn't do his math homework. He doesn't do the chores like he's supposed to. So do you think mom and his teacher is happy? No, not very happy at all. But then I got a friend named Aaron. And Aaron has the opposite issue. And I'm sure none of you have this issue at all with your parents and teachers, where they send you that 15-minute homework assignment and you go, oh, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not touching that. Don't even bother giving me homework. And then mom or dad offers you that chore and they ask you to vacuum and you get livid at them, you throw stuff. And you get so upset, I'm not vacuuming the living room, no way, no how. But 5 minutes later, after you've thought about it, what do? You vacuum in the living room. You do your math homework. But do you think those people, do you think your mom and dad are happy with people who are just doers, who have to be bought and told all the time, like 3 times to do something before they do it? Probably not. So you want to be both. You want to be a hearer and doer. You want to be like my friend Bart, who does those things, who, when his teacher tells him to do his math homework and his mom and dad tell him to vacuum the living room, he's respectful and says, yes, I'll do it, and then he actually goes out and does it. And that's something we struggle with as adults, because I want you to remember, when we only hear or say good things, but we don't follow through, we have to remember this first passage from James. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And so a good way to remember that is sometimes our words are worth pennies and our actions are worth dollars. So what we're actually willing to do for people says a lot about what we say and what we hear. And then for people to remember that it takes both, we have to remember James 1:25. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So your lesson today is to be a hearer and a doer, to be somebody who listens and to be somebody who does the right action. And it's incredibly hard sometimes to do both. But when we do those two things in kindness and in love for people in need, we know that we are doing the holy things God calls us to do. So remember that we need both, not just one or the other. It's like a teeter-totter. You need the balance between being a hearer and being a doer. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we ask you to bless these kids and just remind them that they are watched over and help them to know that how they listen matters and also how they act matters for all of us. So help us to not just be hearers of Christ's loves, but to be doers as well, to make sure that we are looking for kind actions that we can share with others and remind them of the true love of Christ that we feel within us. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. So for our message today, we're going to do things a little bit differently to start. Give me one sec to set up here and get a drink of water. So I'm going to start today by sharing a story with you, a short story. There was a man one day who got invited to the pearly gates in front of St. Peter. And St. Peter was a man who loved a good riddle and loved a good question before he allowed anyone to get past him in the pearly gates. So when this man comes before him, he holds three things down on a towel for him. A knife, this powerful gun, and this mirror right here. And he asks the man, and he says, your quiz, your task to get past the pearly gates is to pick out one of these three things. So I want you, for me, to pick out the most dangerous thing you can find, the thing that's caused most destruction to humanity. And the man, who is very nervous about this test, heard this question, and all of a sudden his eyes lit up because it was a much easier question than he thought it would be. So naturally, the first thing he reached for was the gun. He pulled out the gun, and he said, obviously, nothing has caused more destruction or more pain to this world than this weapon right here. And then St. Peter says, yes, this has caused a lot of carnage and a lot of pain. But guess what? It's not the most dangerous thing here. And the man became very confused, and you could see he started to sweat and he started to get scared, but then he saw the other option in front of him. And of course the man thought it was the knife. I mean, guns have only been around for hundreds of years, but knives have stood the test of time. They've caused pain, they've caused hurt, they've caused violence in many different places. Surely it is the knife. And the St. Peter looks at him and he says, that is a wonderful guess, but that guess too is wrong. And the man becomes frustrated, he becomes angry, he becomes upset, and he grabs the mirror, he picks it up, and he says, you're telling me this piece of plastic and glass is the most dangerous weapon that exists in all of creation? And St. Peter looks at him and he takes the mirror and he has the man look at his own reflection. And he very calmly says, the only that people that can't see in the mirror, their reflection, that they are loved and cared for as children of God, those are the only people that see the need for option one and option two. So you have to know that you are created and loved in the image of God. And without that, if people were able to see that, there would be no need for the other things on the map below. And I think that is an important message, an important reminder for us today. Because our scripture today has a lot to say about how we criticize other people and how we talk about ourselves. Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 14, "Listen to me, all of you, and I understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in it can defile them, but the things that come out are what defile." Jesus understood the power of words. We have to constantly ask ourselves, are the words we are saying lifting other people up, or are they tearing them down? On the day we reach St. Peter's Gate, on the day we are buried, we want our friends and our loved ones to mourn the loss of their biggest cheerleader, their biggest friend, not the loss of their greatest critic. I don't know about you. I don't want my burial day to be my children going, "Oh, finally, that nagging person. Let's get rid of him. Let's go 7 feet instead of 6 feet just to make sure he's down." We want to be the cheerleader. We want to be the good person. And I also think that self-esteem and that reflection in the mirror plays a big part in how we speak about others. Because you know, the people that are most critical and harsh on themselves can often be the most harshest and most critical of others. And I want you to ponder this question for a moment. If the afterlife was a place based on how you talk about yourself, if the afterlife was a place based on how you talk about yourself, would it be heaven or would it be hell? Would it be a joyful paradise or a never-ending prison? Be kind to yourself. And that is the very reason that I think hate groups often have extensive wardrobes or masks they hide behind. They think they can hide their own insecurities behind costumes and an angry voice. But an inability to love others often reveals an inability to love ourselves. James 1:20-21 said, "You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness." Imagine if we changed our thinking to listen the longest, to take a second to speak, and take even longer before we got angry. Because what James is talking about is a first commandment issue. When we trick ourselves into thinking our anger towards other people is God's holy righteousness, we deceive ourselves. Daniel B. Clendon said, "When God hates all the same people you hate, you can be sure that you created him in your own image." When God hates the same people you hate, you can be sure that you created him in your own image. We are called to live out the kindness that we feel in our hearts towards our brothers and sisters. And sometimes we even have the more difficult task of being kind to ourselves. James 1:22-24 said, "But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any hearer of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like, the person they were called to be." And at the end of the day, it all comes back to this mirror, this reflection that you see. When you look into this thing, do you see a beloved child of God, or do you look and see your own judgments? Do you see all the things you judge yourself for not being? Because our kindness towards others and ourselves isn't something we should pull out of the drawer once a day. You shouldn't pull out 5 minutes a day, "Oh, I have to be nice to others when I'm a Christian, so I'm going to do that from 9:15 to 9:20, and I'm going to pencil that in each day." It's a 24/7 call. It should be seen by others, even if we think no one is watching, even if this mirror is not present. In fact, our kindness should be seen by others and towards ourselves, Even when we think God isn't watching, even when we think God isn't paying attention, because we know that God always is. And the presence of God can be felt by true believers everywhere. We can see it in the mirror when we wake up and before we go to bed. We can see it in our actions at work, at the dinner table, and even how we talk to ourselves in the drive on the grocery store. And so we have a calling. May we always be the people that reflect God's kindness and God's love to others. Reflect that kindness, reflect that love when you look in that mirror. Because that kindness needs to be seen to other people, our neighbors, our friends, and our families, to ourselves. Be kind to you. Life is hard. Be your biggest cheerleader sometimes, because it's so hard to find people who are cheering for you. And remember that the one who created us, when we look up, when we take our mirrors, when we take our reflection, we look up to the one who created us, we can remember that he loves us unconditionally, that he cares for us unconditionally. So we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to feel insecure in that. We can keep our feet planted in the ground, knowing that the reflection of a loving creator is also reflected in us. So may we reflect that in not just our words, but our actions towards others. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we ask that you remind us to be hearers and doers, to think both intently about what Scripture says to us and for us, and look for ways to apply that in the kindness of our neighbors, our friends, and ourselves. And as we go forth from this place, help us to remember that we don't pull God's love out of the drawer for 10 minutes a day, but it has to live in us and among us and around us. So help us to share in every way we can. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. We now hear a song as we are reminded of the reflection of God's love, grace, and mercy. Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. This concludes our service.